Blog Talk Radio.
You're getting stoned to Setting the Tone Radio.
Look, I get it in, I'm a home man. All the ladies say flying, they don't really want to leave them alone. I never follow the crowd, I'm setting my own trends. Baby girl, I'm setting the tone. I'm a trendsetter, 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 I'm a trendsetter, 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 trendsetter.
Gentlemen, you are now tuned in to WSTT. I am the Monk, and I have with me today, who do I have with me today?
Well, shoot, I know the dictator is on.
Monk, you've been over there drinking on that cranberry juice, you forgot?
Hey, well, you know, I wanted y'all to introduce yourselves, that's all.
Oh man.
Well, like you said, the dictator is on this evening with us. Dictator, what's going on? How are you?
Oh man, you know what? I kinda got a headache, but I'm doing well in terms of everything else. It's just small situations that got me going and had me a little down, but the weather's here down here in Atlanta's nice, so I'll just roll with the punches. I'm doing fine, let's just say that.
Good ultimate response.
Exactly. Dude. How about you, Cool Chick? What's going on?
Cool Chick is chilling, you know, on this Sunday. Little bit of a what? Humid Sunday? Looked like it was going to rain. I don't know if it actually rained. I was kind of inside most of the day, but one of those overcast days, we should say. But overall, pretty cool day, a pretty cool weekend. I'm just winding the weekend down here on SCT Radio, where we are talking about modern surveillance tonight. We want everybody to call in. Give us a call, 646-200-0246. Again, that number is 646-200-0246. Now, when we talk about modern surveillance, we're definitely talking about...
Before we continue... Before we continue on, we also got one more in the studio here. And what we got, Shalarius?
Hi.
Hey, Shalarius.
Hi, Shalarius.
Hi, guys. How are you?
All right.
Good. How are you?
Get us some entertainment report today.
Shoot. She's got a little more entertainment to deal with tonight because there's a lot going on out there, as Cool Chick was saying. We can, what are we talking about? Modern surveillance. You know, I have a hard time spelling that word, surveillance. I was typing up the thing. I'm like, surveillance, survey. Let me see, C-S, or S-U-R-V. Thank God for spell check. I was like, oh, shoot, there's two L's somewhere in there? Okay, all right, yeah. It's all good. So, but I guess a lot of people are really shocked with today's, or this past week or so, the events over in South Carolina, right? You were saying, Cool Chick?
Yeah, I don't know if the word shock is a word, unfortunately, because this is not something, this headline is not an unfamiliar headline, basically. But people may seem, there seems to be a bit more calm in the situation with Walter Scott, who was an unarmed man who was shot and killed by police. The police officer, though, however, did get fired, and they are looking into the case more, you know, more deeply. Watching the video is a bit unnerving, though. You never want to see that actually happening to somebody's life, you know, the realities of it.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah,
wow.
I think that people feel there is a little bit of justice, being though he's gotten fired from the squad, and you know, because that hasn't always been the case soon thereafter a shooting like this is taking place, so.
Well, you know what? I noticed that recently they're saying now that they want the other officer that came about and tried to save the corpse, because clearly he was dead as soon as he shot him down, but the black cop, Al Sharpton and others are saying, well, the black cop didn't do enough to try to save Walter Scott, and also he was there when the officer dropped the taser or whatever
right.
it was. Yeah. And
I totally
they're trying
agree
to say,
with that.
You do? You do?
Absolutely.
Hilarious.
It was a code of blue. It was a code of blue going on right there. That cop sat there and watched that cop go over and grab that taser and drop it down by the body. And none of this was going to ever come out into that video. I think that black cop should be fired as well.
Well, I think there should be disciplinary action. I don't know, and maybe even up to being fired, but I definitely don't think there should be anything criminal. He didn't squeeze that trigger.
I don't care. He was going to go along with it. To me, that's just as bad because, you know, like now we got to teach our kids instead of, you know, just having a smartphone and playing games on it, we got to teach them how to record police officers. That's got to be the app, you know, and it's like we wouldn't have even known this at all, and that cop was not going to come forth and say that at all until the video come out. Like, just if he was white, we would be saying he should be fired too. So just because he's a black person doesn't excuse it. He should be fired too.
Interesting. I like that. But you know what? I'm going to go back one step because, you know, me being a tech person and owning Tony.com, that's the three E's, you know, I could make that app, Cop Watcher, the app for iOS and Android. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Just it records your it's a body cam recorder. You just get it comes with a rope. You download the app, we'll send you a rope, a lanyard, free of charge. You just wear your iPhone or your Android right on your chest, and you know, it just turn on the app, and now you got a body cam. Booyah!
Go for it. I mean, there is one. There's an app out now called Friendly Police or something like that. It basically tells you where in America there are police officers who have not been charged with abuse, and so it gives you like the cities and stuff if you're trying to move.
Wow! They should change it to Officer Friendly. Officer friendly. You can report bad cops. Like
that's kind of
like how we got to the topic, is if, you know, calling it modern surveillance, just the fact that, you know, like Jay-Z said, streets is watching. You know, I mean, it's even the same thing when there's a fight or when there's an accident. Like, people are quick to pull out their phone, record it, and post it on social media. So That you know, raises the question of, are you going to be more aware of your decisions, knowing that even if it's someone you can't see, they can see you.
Right. But you know, the alternate part of that, cool chick, is with this modern surveillance situation. Because I mean, excuse me, I remember when Atlanta had, you know, first installed those cameras on the highway. And I was just like, wow, they're literally just going to put a camera every 20 feet on the highway as you're driving down. And I felt like it was like the New World Order. Are these incidences a way of getting even more of our privacy taken away? Because, of course, now they can call, okay, let's use the body cam and, you know, put it on officers, or we have to carry one ourselves. Are we living in a society that's kind of driving towards the people who are, what do you call them, conspiracy theorists who say, well, you know, our privacy is being taken away little by little by modern surveillance? Are we pushing towards that? Just like kind of like how Bush did us with the weapons of mass destruction. That gave the NSA and different government bodies the ability to tap into things or have ability to reach into our homes a little more for the sake of terrorism. Is this a kind of a same situation where we're going to, you know, we're going to jump in the gun or moving too fast and needing modern surveillance in order to surveillance our cops or surveillance each other?
I mean, I think that we've kind of gotten to a place where technology has changed the world. It changes the way we move. It changes the way we communicate. It changes everything. And so we've gotten to a place where the moment you leave your house, there's nothing private anymore.
Right.
Just because of where technology is, and somebody always has a phone nearby, somebody is always quick to record. There's always, if you go down your newsfeed at any given day, you're probably granted to see more posts about videos than about actual conversation. Because that's what's leading is the videos. People want to see something and then they want to comment on it. So, I mean, if we look at it as an invasion of privacy or whatever, however we want to look at it, it's just our reality right now. Technology has just taken over. I mean, and in some ways it's absolutely to our benefit. You know, if you want to invite 1,500 people to an event that you have, you can do it by the push of one button. If you want to buy tickets to your favorite show, you can ultimately do that in less than 2 minutes. You know, but with every pro, there's another side to that. Whether you want to call it a con or not, there's still another side to it.
Speaking of a push of one button, for everyone out there, please, please, please go ahead to iTunes and search for Setting the Tone Radio. We have been on iTunes for a couple of years, and we just want more listeners on iTunes. We're already on TuneIn as well as Stitcher Radio. So if you have any of those, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, or iTunes, just search for Setting the Tone Radio. Download our podcast. You can listen to any one of ours, and we always welcome comments. Getting back to the topic at hand, I think that, you know, modern surveillance has changed the way we, and modern technology in general has changed the way we look at things. And this is just one example. But, I mean, remember Rodney King. Rodney King, what was that, 20-something years ago? It was the same thing where if it weren't for that video capture, then we wouldn't have known what Rodney King went through. And although we know personally, I'm a black man, I've been through stuff. To see it, you know, across the nation and everyone react, it was just like, oh my God. So I think this is one of those situations once again, even though it wasn't it's just the one cop. And it's interesting because we're playing, the news is playing back or repeating the same clip that the witness filmed, but then they released the dash cam, and you can see where Walter, you know, he apparently was evading child support, and he decided to, he took off to be 50 years old, was he? You know, half a century old. He looked one time, he told him to get in the car, and then he was like, you know what, I don't even feel like going to jail today. Next thing you know, it was like he was Sonic the Hedgehog. I was, you know, so he was doing his thing, but I don't think he should have been killed as a result of it.
No, of course not. And to touch on something Kuchik said earlier, like this seems to be more calm. Well, yeah, because in my opinion, this is out of the Mike Brown and the Eric Garner, this is the only one where it's clear that the person was not a threat. He wasn't even running away. He was lumbering. Like, that was not running.
Yeah.
Like, he was not a threat to that officer at all. He could have just tackled him. But that officer was out of breath. You could hear it when he was trying to run after him on the first dash cam that they finally released. So
yeah,
he just felt like,
audio.
I'm not chasing him anymore because I can't catch this old man anyway. So he shot him. And this has been the first time, the first of all these, that I felt like it was clear that he just shot him just to shoot him. The other ones, I wasn't clear on that at all, and I wasn't for all the, you know, hands up, don't shoot. And we found out that from the DOG report, the people who bothered to say, oh, hands up, don't shoot, and Mike Brown, all this stuff, they didn't even bother to read the 80-page report where the Department of Justice found that hands up, don't shoot didn't even happen. It didn't even happen. And they found that officer to be in right, you know, and he was okay with doing what he did. So now that was like the template. Oh, I'll just say that he was coming after me. And now this one, clearly it wasn't the case. And that's why you don't see the outrage, because
that's all people were asking for, is to take things to court. You know,
right.
It just shouldn't be a clear-cut thing. And this one, there has been things, you know, he lost his job. His lawyer, as soon as the video came out, dropped him because he said he told a totally different story than what came out in the video. So you're seeing things happen. So, of course, then there's no reason to be protesting or anything, because the whole reason for the protest was to say, don't kill us, bring us to justice. That's all.
All right. So we're going to go to break right now, and when we come right back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this shooting in Charleston, Carolina. Stick with us.
So why are you acting like a bloody fool? If you get hot, then you must get cool. Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Mother, and you chuck it on your father, you chuck it on your brother, and you chuck it on your sister, you chuck it on that one, and you chuck it on me. Bad boys, bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? I give you no break. Not even your eyes, you're not giving no break. Hey, hey. Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Saturday morning, and the subsequent investigation of that. We went exactly by the book and the way things are supposed to be handled. Today we were made aware, we actually knew that someone had videoed what had happened. We were trying to find out who the young man was. He undoubtedly brought the video to the family. I can tell you that as the result of that video and the bad decision made by our officer, he will be charged with murder. And that's not something that we like to hear or like to say, but it goes to say how we work as a community. When you're wrong, you're wrong. And if you make a bad decision, don't care if you're behind the shield or just a citizen on the street, you have to live by that decision. And so we as a city want the family to know that our hearts and our thoughts are with them, our prayers are with them. Anything that we can do for them, we're here to do. We do not look at the responsibility we have lightly. We take the role that when we do wrong, we do wrong. But I want you to remember, we've got 343 police officers in our department. This is a bad decision by one of those 343. And I think the lesson that we take out of this, and hopefully the general public takes out of it, is that when an incident occurs, give us the appropriate time to investigate, find out exactly what happened, and we will act accordingly.
That was the mayor of North Charleston, Carolina, and that's what he had to say. Immediately after the situation, they found out, and they streamed the video, they arrested their officer. He lost his job, and he's being brought up on murder charges. And so that's what we're talking about today. Really, you know, the subject is modern surveillance. And I see what you mean by that, Dictator. The subject is modern surveillance, but you know, we're really digging into the situation with this cop, with this officer. I don't even want to say officer. I want to say with this murderer shooting this guy eight times in the back. And what I mean by that, when I say this murderer, that just happened to have on a police officer uniform, because just like the mayor said there, they have 343 other police officers, and just and they don't want the other police officers to be looked at as a murderer like this guy. Just like in the black community, we don't want to be seen as just like those other people that's always causing the crime. The and we don't want to be all blanketed with you know, one stereo with a stereotype, right? So they don't want to be stereotyped as the, you know, the whole office as murderers. So that's where we're at right now. That's what we're talking about, and I think we're going to continue giving our opinion about this. So,
absolutely, and I think actually we're going to get a Big Izzy in on a conversation, because I know Shalarius is saying, hey, you know, maybe they should charge a black officer too. And I'm sure Big Izzy is probably going to have a different opinion on that. Big Izzy, you on? What's up? You in the studio?
Yo, what's going on?
Oh, caller, where you calling from? Big Izzy, where you calling from? There it is.
I'm calling from upstate.
I got to treat him like a caller now. Oh, all right, caller. All right. What's your take, sir?
Hey, man, I'm chilling, man. You know, just keeping my head above water.
Okay. What's your take on this whole situation under surveillance and about officers and everything?
I'd first like to go ahead and say that this isn't, again, this isn't nothing new. Black folks have been shouting on the mountaintops, you know, for 20 years. You know, the death of Emmett Till, the assassination of Martin Luther King, that, you know, there are a lot of white folks, officers, FBI agents, mayors, local politicians, you know, who just don't like black people, and they'll do anything they can to go ahead and, you know, rip fathers, brothers, and young black men from their community. But I think it's, you know, especially after hearing Shalarius's comments, I think it's a lot of people, you know, especially in our own community, who've been so desensitized to it that you actually have to be 100% right in any engagement with an officer before somebody will go ahead and say, hey, this officer did wrong. In the case of Trayvon was not accused of a crime. He was profiled by somebody who wasn't even an officer. What ended up happening? That young man lost his life. In the case of Eric Gardner, which we already saw, which was on video surveillance, what happened? He was choked out on camera. No wrongdoing. So it's Yeah, that's what they said. For the guy, they tried to take it to grand jury. No trial. We're not going to charge him with a crime. He acted, you know, maybe poorly, but it was negligent. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what they don't. That's what folks fail to realize, is that cameras aren't going to change anything in a lot of cases, because if you have a bad angle or something, here's what's going to happen. Well, there's not enough evidence to support, you know, the claims we're going doing. So that's what happened. This one was just so clear and so blatant, and we were so very, very lucky. You know, that family was so very lucky. And I'm happy for one that, you know, it maybe seems like they'll go ahead and take it seriously and investigate it and charge the officer, or, you know, maybe go ahead and say, you know, he did something wrong. But this is like, you know, a day late and a dollar short.
Now, we have a clip from the guy that actually, we have several clips from the guy that actually recorded the video. This is a description of the whole situation.
What did you see and what did you do?
What I saw, as you can see in the video, the shooting, you know, after the victim was dead. Before the video, I was walking to my job. I was walking to my job, and I witnessed Mr. Scott coming out. I'll say auto song. No, it's an auto part coming out. Auto part, you know.
The auto part.
Running,
store.
Yes, running through me, you know. And then I saw maybe 5 seconds later, I saw the cop. After him, chasing him, you know, yelling to stop him. And my first thought, you know, that I thought, you know, that something would happen about it. So I just went to the scene to see, you know, what's going on, what I saw, and, you know, that they were on the floor. He might recently, you know, just fell down or maybe tackled by the police. I just saw, you know, the police was, he was down and the police was up, trying to get control of him. And I approached to the scene when I see, you know, that the police was pushing him, tasering.
So you saw the police tasering?
Yes, tasering. Yeah, you can hear the sound, you know, before I started in the video. And I just decided to take my phone out, you know, maybe to try the cop, see that it was the person over there standing there, you know, and I started recording, and that's when everything happened.
So, Shalira, it seemed like you wanted to say something there.
Yeah, I do. Izzy mentioned that, you know, people like me have become desensitized to, you know, what is going on. I also feel that a lot of Black people are desensitized to crime. It's like we see Eric Garner on tape and we think, oh, he's not doing anything. Well, actually, resisting arrest is a crime. And so since he's not beating an officer over the head or, like, brandishing a gun or anything, him resisting arrest isn't a big deal. Meanwhile, he was still resisting arrest, so even if he got choked out on camera, let's not forget that just because there are cameras, you still have to act appropriately. And the cameras show that Eric Garner was actually committing a crime. He was selling loose leaves, and he wasn't supposed to. He had been picked up several times for that same crime. You're being picked up for the same crime all the time. You shouldn't continue to do it. That's the definition of insane, to continue doing something and get the same results. And so his results was that he was being picked up. Well, that day he felt like he didn't want to be picked up anymore. Well, just because you don't feel like doing something doesn't mean you don't have to do it. If you are being asked to comply, you need to comply. So, yes, the camera, we did see him die on camera, but he was not innocent in it. And so that's why I say, to me,
yeah, he was not innocent, hilarious, but he should not have died. They did not have to use lethal force in order to put him down.
You heard what she said, though? She said she didn't know that. White man with a gun said something.
I don't care what color. Let's say he was a Teletubby, as a black man.
To expect any amount of personal freedom or liberty. I could be walking up the street and the cop could say, yo, you're jaywalking. I could be like, yo, I'm like 6 feet away from the crosswalk. I don't care. Move along. Hurry up.
You're
always
jaywalking.
I'm like,
get the fuck out
of here.
Cops
are people who have pride. They have pride issues, ego issues.
Hold on, Izzy.
He's so hung up on black all the time. Let's not forget Black people commit crimes as well. And so that's the thing. You're so all about, but a black man. But the black man was
Nobody's saying to support anarchy. Again, there's a perspective that says, oh, he didn't do anything wrong. I never thought these brothers were innocent. But to go ahead and charge people and make them suffer consequences that's not even proportionate to the crimes, or even offer them a trial, or offer them let them go through the process, that's the part that's a little bit disturbing. I'm a United States citizen, so if you feel I'm jaywalking, I'm smoking weed, or I'm drinking somewhere, write me a ticket, take me to jail. But don't choke me to death on the way
to jail.
Don't blow my brains
that's
out
the
in the back of the car,
getting.
And then let me have my own sister get up there.
He was trying to take him to jail.
That guy was not
six of them?
Complying.
You're talking about, are you referring to Eric Garner? Because what does he do? Is he selling illegal cigarettes?
And also, let's not ever put Trayvon in the same category as Mike Brown and Eric Garner, because those are two different situations. I'm pro Trayvon. Let's stop putting linking him in with criminals.
Well, see, I think they all have the same correlation of our legal system failing us as blacks.
That's Black people who keep lumping them in together. We're talking about criminals, and we're talking about an innocent person who was on his way home.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about young Black men who were
killed in questionable circumstances, right?
In questionable circumstances when they don't kill nobody else like that. Show me two.
Hey,
y'all,
can we take a quick pause and bring on the caller? We got Bobby who's been on
we'll
the phone for quite some time.
We'll go to Bobby right after break. We'll be right back. WSTT.
All right. Let's do it.
Good luck in the shoot.
Thank you for listening.
Shot, you see the officer put something down.
I saw that now on the video. I never didn't catch that part when he dropped. I did notice, you know, that he went back when he was standing over, when he was, you know, with Mr. Scott. He did pick something up. Never saw him, you know, that he dropped. I just saw, you know, when he picked it up and pick it up again on the scene, on the beside the bit too.
But you couldn't tell what it was that he picked up?
No, not on the victim side, like I said. But over there, I knew it was a taser when he went back again, you know, to get the taser. You know, but never saw, you know, that he dropped the taser, like I say. But I saw that he picked something up. I didn't know what it was.
All right. That's the witness that recorded the whole situation. That's him talking about the planting of the taser being planted on the victim just after the officer shot him. And so that's very, you know, to be there to see something like that, to see a murder take place, that's very, very serious.
Right.
Hey, Cool Chick, you wanted to go to a caller?
Yeah, we do have Bobby on the line calling in from Maryland. Also, for anyone that's out there listening and wants to get in on tonight's topic, modern surveillance, just give us a call, 646-200-0246. Again, that number is 646-200-0246. Now, let's take it to Maryland. Bobby, what's going on? How are you?
How y'all doing? Thanks for having me on y'all show.
Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I kind of like hearing what everybody's saying, but I do think to a certain extent surveillance body camera does help, but I think people are missing the message that is actually going out there right now. To me personally, I think black individuals are being targeted and not held to the same, I guess you want to call it, standard that everybody else that commits crime of different races are done. That whole incident to me personally.
Why is that? Why do you feel that that's the case? Why is that?
One is because I feel like it's the stereotype that we allow people to put on us as black men, and the stereotype that we black, well, I would say more younger black people, to put on ourselves. Someone was telling me today when we were talking about the same situation, and they were saying something like, when I guess people of authority or white people see black men, they fear us to a certain extent. And I'm like, if you're an American and we uphold the same right as everybody in America, you shouldn't be held to a different standard no matter what you do. Like the guy that was shot, he stopped him for a traffic violation.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the consequences of what you find out that his record might be, he first of all, he tased him. And there's something called level of force. And I think that's what everybody's not understanding, that these police officers right now do not follow these rules when it comes to African-American. Just because an African-American commits a crime doesn't necessarily mean the first thing you grab is your gun. But it just seems like with all that happened right now, that's the first thing they grab is, okay, I'm going to grab my gun because as a black man, he's a threat. I'm scared of him. He might do anything. And
now in that situation, that wasn't the first he grabbed. I think the witness just said that he tased him first.
He grabbed his taser first.
Right.
But my whole point is he grabbed his taser and the guy was stumbling. The second thing he should have done was chase him and apprehend him. That was the next thing for him to do. There was no reason or no justification for him to pull his firearm. The guy wasn't
The guy was 50 years old. Like, how hard it would have been to catch him?
In law enforcement, age doesn't mean anything. We've seen a 50-year-old that is way stronger.
Right.
So you can't go in saying 50 years old, first of all.
Yeah, Eric Garner.
He could have caught that 50-year-old. I think he could have caught
not
him.
Saying, I'm not saying,
really
I mean, from the same video that you saw that I seen, he could have caught you know, but what I'm saying is he didn't have to use the gun, but because of the stereotype that we allow people to put on us as black men, we are scary. We as a nation, we don't have to accept that. I'm not saying that he's justified for what he did. I'm just saying that he did something cold-blooded just for the fact that as black men, they feel that every time they have confrontation with us, they have to use the highest level of force. I'm not saying this off.
Now, Bobby, can I ask you a question? Just if I were to play devil's advocate a little bit on the situation, as black men, knowing kind of what's been going on in terms of confrontations with the police and the result, are black men to conduct themselves differently? So, should Walter Scott have ran out of the car? I'm not saying he's running out of the car.
I agree with you. He should
have.
I'm not saying him running out of the car dictates him being killed. But knowing
kind of the world that we live in, is that should he have ran out of the car in the first place? Like, if he didn't run out,
he should never have pulled over for a traffic light.
You should not get killed over a traffic light at all.
I agree with you.
But considering all things.
I agree with you that he should never have ran. This is my thing. As black people, if you've been stopped, comply with the officer, do what the officer says. Do not give him a reason to shoot you. Do not give him a reason to shoot you because he's looking for that. I mean, we've seen, now this is not the only videos. Let's not get it twisted. We've seen various videos. I mean, I still saw a video today with a police officer chasing a black individual with a body cam. They apprehend him, and while they were on him, the officer pulled out and shot him right on the floor.
Wow. And said,
so this is not this is not about this. They just want a reason to shoot.
Right.
They need a reason to shoot. And we keep giving them reason to shoot. That's what I'm saying. Racism exists, either you like it or not. There is today's society right now, cops do not think like they used to think before. They're not using code of ethics. Their thought is, I'm the law, we'll take care of it down. And we keep giving them reasons to do what they do. Either we argue, we throw gestures at them, we curse at them, we run. To them, that's a reason to shoot.
And
with all the videos, with all the surveillance, with all the court, with all the activists, they keep doing it. That's my point. They keep doing it. It hasn't stopped. Tomorrow we're going to see another one. Next week we're going to see another one. That's just the point. But we got to stop giving them reason. We can't stop crime because we don't know everybody's situation. But at the same time, if you've been stopped, comply. At least if you comply, now you can say there's no justifications of what happened to you. And let's hope to God that it doesn't come fatal. But when we give them reason, when we run, when we argue, when we come out and start pulling up crowd, calling for attention, we're giving them reason to shoot. Because by law, they are supposed to follow the level of threat. They're supposed to follow the level of force, rather. This police are professionals. They're supposed to be professionals. They have batons, tasers, tear gas. They have all these other tools they can go to before using a weapon. Apparently, they're not. And they don't care. But we as black people need to stop giving them reason for going to the highest level of threat. Because at the end of the day, somebody's losing a family member. Somebody's losing a father, a brother, an uncle, or something. No matter how many rallies they have today, no matter how much they show on news, that guy's never coming back. We can say black people all day, but the point is we know that it's coming. We know that they're after us. Now we need to stop giving them reason to come after us. If you know that there's a felon record against you, if there's a warrant against you, take it. Go to the station, handle your business. Running is not going to solve your problem. All the thing you're doing is giving them a room to shoot. Thank you.
Indeed. Thank you. Thank you, Bobby, so much for calling in. We appreciate you.
All right, dear.
And thank you. And for anybody else out there that wants to call in, just give us a shout. The number is 646-200-0246. Again, that number is 646-200-0246. We are going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back in a second.
The more trucking involved is going up. They don't care because they stay paid anyway. They treat you like an ace, they can't be betrayed.
Welcome back, WSET Radio, on this Sunday evening. We are talking about modern surveillance. More recently, the situation with Walter Scott, who was gunned down by a police officer in Charleston. 646-200-0246, 646-200-0246, press 1 at the prompt so you can get in on this conversation with us. Now, we just had Bobby on the line speaking about the situation. Any comments from Bobby's comments? I should say.
No, that's what he was saying. I mean, I wholeheartedly agree. I understand. I know we should have freedom to be just like everybody else. But this moment, this atmosphere and the way, man, don't give anybody a reason, man.
Right.
He clearly got out of the car. First time, the officer said, get back in. And then he got back in and thought about it like, yo, man, he's telling his homeboy, yo, man, I ain't trying to go to jail. I'm out. I'm about to bounce on this cat. And he took off and ran. So, nah, let's say you got all the elements. You got a officer that doesn't, that one, he ain't planning on running after nobody. Two, he's scared. Three, I mean, you know, it's just all of this stuff. And then next thing you know it, you end up shot and dead. He done shot you eight times. And this is a murderer.
Crazy.
8 times. So let's just say if this guy would have just stayed in the car and then the officer would have came back and was like, yo, mister, we got a warrant for your arrest. And he would have pulled him out of the car, handcuffed him. He would have went downtown, and then he would have got out in a couple of days over these charges. He would have still been alive. You know what I mean? Like, he would have had – so not wanting to go to jail – cost him his life because he then interacted with somebody that wasn't willing to chase him down and was willing to pump 8 in his back because he didn't want to go to jail.
Yeah, 8 heavy.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
In the back.
In the back?
Right.
How you shoot a man in the back? It wasn't like he had no gun, like he came at you.
Nothing.
He wasn't even that fast. I would have had fun if I was the officer. It's fun just chasing them and then tackling them or whatever. Just, you know what I'm saying? Like,
he was still drunk off those tasers. Off the
right.
Taser. He was lumbering away.
Right. Right. To
Boy,
be like, how the hell could you run from me? Pop, 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 pop. You know, it's just, there's no way to explain it. And then you see the mayor was on that press conference on the very first clip that I played, the mayor. So, I mean, they like, man, we totally trying to separate ourselves from this murderer, because that's what he is a murderer.
He can't even – usually they can get all kind of funding from the GoFund, people raising money. GoFund said, nope, y'all can't even do a fundraising on our site. And Indigo Fund, they let it happen, but he only raised like $300 in like 3 days, and they finally cut it down because it's one of those things where if Hannity Combs from Fox News is saying, you a damn murderer and this is bull, something's wrong when racists are on the side of the black dude. Like, you know you did wrong. And it's just messed up.
That's the part that's crazy.
How do you guys feel ultimately about the fact that he was fired from the squad? I mean, this kind of seems to be a first situation where there's been action taken almost immediately after the incident. How you guys feel about that?
See, the thing is, like, I'm looking at it like, man, you know, the best thing to go ahead and do is to do, like, I don't know. This is just, you know, one guy's opinion, and I'm sure it probably wouldn't even be, you know, monetarily or fiscally feasible, but, you know, let's get, like, a freaking drone. Like, you know, they have, like, the Arena Football League, how they had the little sky cam. Like, why don't we get one of those? As soon as the cop gets out, he presses the button, sky cam comes on and records everything, you know, on some Men in Black type stuff. So that way we can see whatever the brother did. Because Lord knows, I do want to go ahead and say that, you know, Shalir does have a point. Brothers, if you're out here committing a crime and you do something stupid and resist, I mean, at the end of the day, man, that's on you. You know, James also reiterated that fact. I mean, look, you not wanting to go to jail costs you your life.
Your life.
Mm-hmm. Your life. Right? He's never coming back home. And, you know, the call agent said, hey, we could watch this video and say, man, that's messed up 1,000 times. But the reality is, that brother is never coming back home. He is in a box. He's another brother that's on a T-shirt. His mom's are sitting there, oh, my God, talking about she feels forgiveness in her living room singing old Negro spirituals, and her baby just got murdered. The level of peace and tranquility that people have to have sometimes in dealing with these officers, and again, I'm not saying that the brother was perfect, but God damn, dog. You blew this dude away. You blew his head off, man.
And then went and handcuffed the corpse. Like,
then went and handcuffed him, tried to frame
it.
Oh, my God.
Problem.
Terrible, man.
And what's sickening is what's real sickening is there's a video of this family called the Gaver family. They fought with cops in the Walmart parking lot. This just happened last Friday, too.
Oh,
the video was just released. It's six
all
of them,
war.
Six brothers fighting with the cops. They're white, their dad included. The mom and the daughter sit to the side and watch. They are, it's an all-out brawl
all
with
out
the
brawl
cops.
For like 10 minutes.
To the point where one of the brothers pull out a gun and shoot the cop, and only one of the seven of them that's beating up the cops dies. One.
Wow.
And that pisses me off because every black person would have been dead out there in that parking
right,
lot. And
right.
they let this fight go on for 8 minutes.
See? Black folks, you can't even run away from the police without being shot. White folks sitting there pulling guns and pulling pistols, and white police sitting there like, well, what do we do? I guess we got to go ahead and go by the book. We got to call backup. We got to hang on until they get here. Let a Negro run 10 feet. He getting filled full of lead. He ain't going back home.
And this whole thing about him being scared for his life. Like, how are you scared for your life? And you're standing there in front of this guy, and you're ready to and you're drawing down on him with 8 bullets.
Right.
How are you scared for your life when you walk up to the corpse after you just got the fresh corpse after you just got finished creating it and cuffed it? What part was you were you scared at? Where were you scared? That's what
well,
I wanted.
I think that's the part that's so very, very telling, because again in the instance with the officer in Ferguson with Mike Brown, you know, that was again the rhetoric. Again the rhetoric, even though, you know, like you said, Shaler said we shouldn't link, you know, Trayvon with the criminals. The rhetoric that Zimmerman uses, well, I was afraid. You know, there's the reasonable expectation that I should have been afraid. I should have been afraid. And because there was a fear and there was a threat level, that I had the right to use the force that I did. Which, all right, fine, if you want to go ahead and say that's your argument, I don't necessarily buy it. But, again, I think what the caller from Maryland, you know, reiterated in his point should be resoundingly clear is why is the use of lethal force your first and last stop?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you go ahead and kill somebody as the first and last resort and think that that's okay? I'm not mad if you'd punch him in his mouth. Oh, the police knocked my teeth out. Well, then you shouldn't have ran. That's what you get. Yo, you know, cephalotion. Yo, he broke my tibia and fibula. Well, you was in there boxing. What the hell you thought they were supposed to do?
Right.
You know? Yo, I was running from him. You know, I was scared. Yo, he broke my arm. When he put me in, you know, they kicked me a couple of times in the nuts. Oh, well, maybe he deserved it. I can live with that. But, damn, you killing brothers?
One shot would have probably put him on his ass where you could go catch up with him. If you say, let's just say that cop couldn't run, and he just needed an advantage, he could have shot the guy in the leg. Let's just say that. Give him that. He could have shot the guy in the leg, then trotted over there to him and cuffed him. But he just unloaded.
Yeah,
murderer. And then the planning of the taser. That's a separate issue all in itself.
Yeah, and that's why that black cop needs to go to be fired as well. I don't care what. He sat there and watched that taser be planted. That video didn't come out until a few days later. He was not going to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's bull to me.
Well, see, I don't know, and I do wholeheartedly agree. I think he was trying to go ahead and cover his butt at some point. But then the other thing that I kind of wonder, if a black man has to worry about getting shot when he did something, what does the brother have to worry about when he sees that, you know, does he have to worry about losing his job? Does he have to worry about, you know, other brothers on the force saying, you know, you should have just go ahead and covered him. Maybe, you know, maybe if there was no video, maybe you could have made it through it. Does he have to worry about the other white cops turning on him the next time he goes and maybe he's scrapping with a brother and the brother's over there getting ready to kill him and all of a sudden they put their hands in their pockets?
Yeah, but that makes him a bad cop. That makes him a bad cop if he has to think that way.
Does
You're
it make
a
him a bad cop.
Cop
or does it make him a black man operating in a racist environment
no,
in which he has to not only watch his life but how he's going to go ahead and feed and employ himself?
But see,
think
that,
about
that
the situation with those teachers in Atlanta. Those teachers in Atlanta were not the first folks to ever cheat on a test, but now all of a sudden they're facing 20 years. 20 years. As if they were mob bosses.
Okay, but they're not helping. Those teachers didn't help those kids no matter what. Because even if they, right. they sit there and give those kids the answers to help them, they're not helping them because they won't be able to make it in society because they don't know anything. So either way, you're corrupting.
Right.
Wow, what happened?
All I'm saying is, should the punishment fit the crime? Should cheating, when is the last time that cheating on a test equal 20 years in prison?
Well, let's take it back to the Charleston shooting. I definitely disagree with everything that happened with that whole Atlanta teachers, but let's keep it with the Charleston shooting right now. And I think it's time, you know, we got about 5 minutes left, a little under 5 minutes. We should start getting to our final tones. What do you guys think?
All right.
I'll start it off. My final tone is this. And I've said this on other shows that we've had, and I still mean it. I mean it, and I'm going to continue meaning it. When you leave the house, my brothers and sisters, especially my brothers, y'all know y'all getting gunned down out here. When you leave the house, your main objective should be to try to make it back safely. And that's my final tone.
I'll go next. My final tone is we've been taught since kids that we have to work harder than white people to achieve and to make it. And we have to work harder than them in classrooms and work environment. So we have to now teach our people to work harder than them when we're dealing with officers. If you know that we get treated a different way than a white person when we're pulled over, work extra hard to make it home. And that's all about complying. That's my final tone.
And this is Cool Chick, and my final tone is I definitely support what Monk said. You know, just focus on getting home. I don't know, I'm kind of at a loss for words because this whole situation is just crazy, and the fact that this just continues to happen is just crazy. So y'all just be safe out there. The world is crazy, but again, like Jay-Z said, streets is watching. So when you guys leave the house, just be careful, everybody. Just be careful.
Lord. I'm Big Izzy, and listen, man, I'm probably tallest and biggest out of all of my co-hosts. I just, you know, as a black man, it's very, very real to me when I get pulled over. And as clearly as I can make it, you know, maybe inside the, you know, city limits of Syracuse, my father was an officer and a common councilman. You know, I feel a little bit more, you know, I guess at home, if you will. But anytime I'm in another city, I know that I'm just literally one bad decision away from being a hashtag on somebody's shirt. I long for the day where I can go ahead and be drunk and maybe be, you know, dead in the wrong and just be like, yo, get your damn hands off me and not have to worry about anything. It sounds funny, but, you know, again, I just want to be treated equally and fairly. You know, and I think that if there's a, you know, a crime that I'm committing, you know, take me to jail, take me to court like everybody else. You know, I don't even mind taking an ass whooping if I'm, you know, in the wrong. But, God, don't kill me, man. Just don't kill me. And stop killing my brothers, man. It's just, it's not cool. We're literally begging. You're trying to, it's looking like you're trying to exterminate us. And we just want to be treated equally and fairly. And that's my final tone.
And that's the final tone.
You're getting stoned to Setting the Tone Radio.
Look, I get it in, I'm a home man. All the ladies say he's lying, they don't really want to leave him alone. I never follow the crowd, I'm setting my own trends. Baby girl, I'm setting the tone. I'm a trendsetter. I'm a trendsetter. Trendsetter.